Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another earth-shattering episode of the Oversharon Show. We're really excited to have you come watch the best show on the internet or listen. Try to change it up a little, but it totally still is the best show on the internet. I don't care what anybody says. You guys are fired. We're talking again about the Tao Te Ching. We're continuing our series. But before we get to that, today Sharon is going to read the quote, and then I'm going to pull a card from the Edgar Allan Poe.
Who?
And while I share the screen, I'm going to go grab it because it's right within reach. Okay, go ahead.
All right. Well, here we have Ram Dass, whom I just really appreciate dearly. I appreciate his work. Anyway, it says, I can do nothing for you but work on myself. You can do nothing for me but work on yourself. I really love that because it's very like nobody can save anybody else. We have to work on self. We have to learn to love self, forgive self, appreciate self. And that's how we learn to love and appreciate others.
But Sharon, it's so much easier to just point out what's wrong with everyone else, you know?
Point the finger,
You could just
blame
do a little bit
everybody
of
else.
work, and then once you do a little work, you can see how much better you are because you can actually open your eyes and you're like, oh wow, I'm better than all these people, so screw them. Let's make a channel about how terrible they are. Just kidding, everybody. Would we do that on
Don't a
the
lot of people do
Earth?
that.
I know a lot of people do that. Or it, you know, not even just about a specific person, but they do something about like what they hate, which
Yeah.
if you're
Or they
focusing on
focus on the
something.
things they dislike and the things they want to debate and the things that are wrong, quote, wrong with this world. Don't they know the world is perfect, Brandon?
Don't you know? This the thing is like if you focus on things, and I mean, I'm sure a lot of people watch this or aware of this, but if you whatever you focus on, like where your attention goes, your energy flows. So even if
Flows.
it's in a no way, a negative way, it, you know, I heard recently something, the way a good way to put it is like the unconscious mind doesn't understand no or negative. So if you're thinking about something all day,
Exactly.
that's what's gonna come up, even if it's something that you don't want to happen. If you're focused on it, you can draw it. It's possible to draw it right to you, you know, like. I've been listening to a lot of Bashar clips lately. I've been sending them to Elizabeth. I'm really trying to get her fired up about things, about like manifestation and things, and just figuring stuff out. Because you know, when you're somebody like a Brandon, and you don't own a house, and you don't exactly agree with like the whole mortgage system and all this stuff, and you want to try to do it a different way. People will be like, well, how are you going to do it? And if you don't know exactly how it's going to happen, it's hard to explain to people that, hey, I don't know how it's going to happen.
But it's going to happen.
But what we're doing is you just work toward it, and then, you know, and then it
You Neville
manifests.
Goddard your way through it.
Because people think that money isn't really that hard to get if you focus your whole life and all this stuff on it, you know. But money is just another currency, so
It's a tool. It's another tool.
yeah, it totally is. A lot of people will focus though on just making money, and yes, if they do it right and they manifest correctly, they could make a lot of money, become rich, or whatever it is, or get what they want. But I'm more worried about like focusing on other things. I'm pretty sure
Right,
we'll just.
because if you use money as a tool like everything else is a tool, then you can just say, I will always have what I need. I will always have everything I need. And it then you don't have to control how it happens, how it comes to you. Like, what if you don't need the actual money to get a house? What if somebody gives you a house? What if somebody donates a house to you? What if somebody leaves a house to you? You know what I mean? Like, you don't. So, when you just, like Neville Goddard does, imagine yourself in the state that you wish to be, then you don't have to control how it even comes to you. because you're like, God, however it is meant to come to me, it will come. Like, I'm not tied to, like what I used to say, that Spoons and I talk about this all the time. We don't write a story about it. We don't make a story. We're not attached to the story. We're not attached to the how. We just let go. It's like doing, not doing. It's like woo way, being, not being. You just are, you just be. And whatever divine source has for you, and whatever you are, your energy is attracting, you know, if you're not sitting there speaking negatively about yourself, and you're working on just the positive. I know it sounds very new agey, like, oh, only think positive thoughts, but.
Well, it's like a vibrational thing, right?
It's a vibrational thing.
Yeah.
It is. It really, truly is. You will attract what you vibrate, how you vibrate.
Yeah, 100%. I really feel that's what it's like. And we've been listening to a lot of Bashar, Mr. Daryl Anka, who channels this.
Not and Paul Anka.
Not Paul Anka. Paul Anka channels somebody else.
He channels, we don't know who.
He channels Aleister Crowley. No, I'm just kidding. So what he said recently, I was listening to something, really blew my mind. He was telling somebody, he's like, listen, there is no such thing as lack. He goes, you might have an abundance of lack right now, right? He's like, you might have an abundance of lack, but that's what you're calling into your life. So there really is no such thing as lack. You have an abundance. It's just not abundance of what you want, but it might be an abundance of what you need, because you never know. What I try to tell people is we really never know what's going to happen in the future, right? So say I was like, all right, I broke down. I was like, Larry, you know, let's get a house. We got a mortgage and all this stuff. Like, who knows, like a meteor can fall out of the sky and crush the house. I know it's like a really bad example. You could say that about anything, right? But I think when you do things like that, you're kind of not trusting the plan. And again, I'm not disparaging anybody who gets a mortgage to get a house. Sometimes it's the right move. Like I told Elizabeth, I'm like, listen, I'm not totally against, you know, mortgages or whatever. If somebody had $1 million house and they're going to sell to us for like $200,000. Yeah, well, let's go get a mortgage. You know what I mean? But you're playing equity. And this is the thing that I do too to people. I learned this in the car business. If you just take your payment, right? So say you're going to finance a house and you put down $20,000, $30,000. And you get like a $250,000 house or whatever, and your payment's like $1,500 with their current rate. I figured something out like this, whatever. If you take that $1,500 and you divide it by all the payments you're going to make, it ends up being like over double what the cost initially is of the house that you're paying in interest.
With the interest, yeah.
Yeah, but see, a lot of people aren't aware of that. They understand that there's interest, though, but they just focus on their payments. I learned this in the car business because a customer did that to me once. He's like, yeah, well, the payment's $299 a month, but then he goes $299 times 60 because it was like a 60-month loan, you know, 5 years. And he was like, what's this? And I'm like, I don't know, man. I'm like,
that's interest for you.
High, though. You know what I mean? It's only a few thousand dollars at that level, you know, but when you start to get up to like a few hundred thousand over like a 30-year mortgage.
Exactly.
So, because people will say, oh, renting is a waste of money. And I'm like, is it though? Like, even if for 5 years, and then I get something later without a loan or financing, even if you get like a rent to own or whatever later on, that's another, say it's another property. So people be like, oh, you wasted. It's like, not really. You're paying for a place to live and that you're not liable for. Like if something breaks in the place you rent, you just, hi, Mr. Landlord, the park, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm not saying it's like totally the way to go. I'm just saying there's a lot of propaganda and it's put out there, obviously, by the people who want you to buy, you know, finance out. You know,
so I have a
money away. And I'm like, no, you're throwing money away.
No. I have something to say about that because it reminds me of the topic of like, you'll own nothing and be happy.
Yeah.
You don't really own anything in the first place, though.
Exactly. When you buy a house, you don't. Yeah. When you get a
like,
loan.
But I'm just talking in the grand scheme of things.
Oh, yeah.
Divine source put us in this place. Do we really own anything? Like, it's like God allowed us to borrow this entire realm. We don't own it. You know, it's just,
Can't own a tree, man. Look at
I
that.
know,
Don't that smell?
it's just funny to me. So, like, even when they're like, you'll own nothing and be happy, I'm just like, well, yeah, we don't own anything in the first place. We think we do. And then when you're attached to that, you know what I mean? It's like you can't be attached to the whole like owning something either. Because you really can you take it with you? No. What's the point?
You're
So like
basically borrowing
if
it
you
like
have to if you're in a space where you rent, so what? That's where you are right now. I did it before. There's nothing wrong with it. You know? And yeah, there was a lot of stuff I didn't have to worry about when I did that. I didn't have to worry about a yard. I didn't have to worry about all these things if something broke, you know? It's like call the landlord.
And she also is really likes the idea of like some kind of mobile place, like a RV or something like that, or a bus. And I was like, you know, because if you have that, then you could buy land and then slowly you can build it the way you want. And if you could get a bunch of land or somewhere where there's land you can buy and maybe future land in the future, you could set up your own whatever the heck you want, you know. And the real key though, the
A
real key.
retreat spot.
A retreat spa, you know, like a yeah, whatever. A poker room. Just kidding. Oh, wait a minute. Sorry. Never mind. I would never set up a poker room, anyone. It's a freaking great idea.
Pool room to play pool.
Yeah, pool room. There you go. And there's a cover on top of the pool table, and some people are playing cards for now.
Yeah.
No, but the real point I just wanted to make though about the mortgage is it locks you in. It could lock you in further to be like a wage slave or whatever, because you don't have that payment. If, you know, if you can't make your payment or whatever that month, then you're screwed, right? You're, like you said, it even in that way, or like I said, it's not even your house in that way. So I think trying to stick with the financial freedom as long as I can. And I also told her, I'm like, you know, if it seems like that is the way to go in the future, and it's, you know, I'm open to suggestions. Just like right now, I don't think it's, you know, the move or whatever, but
I think the solution will come to you when it comes to you, and
yeah.
you will know, like you will know.
Kind of like how I met Elizabeth, right? The
Yeah.
same. Yeah.
Right. You didn't,
She
it's,
gets
it
it
just happens. Things happen and then you just know.
now. Yeah. This is the thing, because it's funny because when I met her, she was into a lot of this spirituality and self-healing, and she was like the expert because she was in a relationship at the time, and she was the one who knew everything about it. And the man she was dating was like, oh yeah, he said he like paid lip service to it, but then he you know, he didn't really, I guess, whatever, I don't know, maybe he's working on his own pace, you know. I'm not judging anybody. But she said something to me last night. She's like, it's weird for me to be the one that's not the spirit, whatever, spiritual expert or whatever, you know. Like, I'm like, I'm the guru, you know. Like, I was just laughing about it. We both laughed.
Worship me, just kidding.
Yeah. And I told her, I'm like, it's just where I am. I'm older, you know, I've seen things. And also her job, it probably makes it a lot harder for her to feel the same way about things. Like, I've seen things in my life happen with like DJing and all this stuff. So it's easier for me to count on manifesting and stuff like that. And you know, I have a lot less to lose. I'm a lot less like programmed, even though she wasn't really programmed into this whole reality the way most people are. But with the finance thing, it's tough, you know. That's one
Yeah.
of the ones where they really get you. But thank Cody, by the way. That thing he sent me was really cool.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I will.
I mean, it's something we might even want to talk about on a future episode, just like for the heck of it, but it's very interesting. But
Yeah.
anyway, I
Yeah,
mean,
he
go ahead.
found that like kind of by chance
Ooh.
because he was looking into all these other things and something led to another, and he looked at something that's pointed at something else, and somebody linked it to something. And then he was looking at that stuff, and he was like, "Whoa, this looks like a viable option."
Yeah, it makes
So,
a lot of sense. I like what the guy was saying. I did pull a card, everybody.
oh yes, thank you.
No, you're good. I just didn't want to.
Okay, wow. I don't tell me what the card is.
Oh, okay.
I want to say that's like the six of swords, but no, there's wands in there. There's like fire, so never mind.
Yeah,
It's
a
just
lot
I'm
of them.
thinking of the one where they're in the boat on the
Oh yeah,
water,
with the swords, this
going from going from choppy water to like calm water. When is it? What card is it?
Ten of Wands.
Yeah, I figured there was a bunch of wands back there.
Yeah, you figured
Is
correctly.
it the one where the guy's on the floor on the beach? Or no, is that the swords? That's the swords, huh?
Yeah, that's swords too. Yep, Ten of Swords. The Rider-Waite you're thinking of here. I'm going to make myself pinned so people can see this better. Pin. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Over Brandon Show. I'm just kidding. There we go. Ten of Wands. I'm going to scroll through slowly so you can see it's this guy. He looks really scared. There's people on a ship. They're like, that guy, what can he be attached to? Can this have something to do with attachments? Let's see what Edgar, well, not Edgar Allan Poe. That would be cool if Edgar Allan Poe did do his own tarot. I mean, that would be.
What?
I'm going to read from the book, and I was about to say, let's see what Edgar Allan Poe has to say. And then I said,
Oh no, somebody took and made an Edgar Allan Poe, but it's not Edgar Allan Poe's
No,
own
yeah, that's why I
tarot.
was like, if he did, that would have been
I'm just
bait.
gonna show, are you still
Oh, you're
pinned?
good. No.
I was just gonna say that's the what it looks like in the Rider-Waite.
Yep. All right, so the story that's going on is in the oblong box, that's the name of the story they made the card from. That's the name of Edgar Allan Poe's story that they used. Cornelius Wyatt jumps from a sinking ship with his wife's coffin tied to his back. Despite his determination to live, Wyatt drowns because the ship's captain won't let him take the coffin onto the lifeboat. Having promised his wife that he would deliver her body to her mother, Wyatt chooses death rather than abandon her corpse. And then this is directly from the story, quote, "In another instant, both body and box were in the sea, disappearing suddenly, at once and forever. In the image, lifeboat passengers watch Wyatt disappear beneath the waves. The sea is choppy and difficult to navigate. The sky is dark with clouds. Both symbolize intense life challenges. Lifeboat passengers hold 10 candles that will light their way as they head toward land. The red hue of the sky and Wyatt's shirt symbolize the courage to move forward in difficulty and the energy to carry heavy burdens." And then the meaning of the card, "You're taking on more responsibility than is reasonable. In order to achieve your aims, you should lighten your load. However, if you're working overtime with a goal in mind, such as saving money for a relocation,
Dude.
or a new car purchase, then working those extra hours will be well worth the effort. Focus on the end game. If you own a business, delegate your workload, prioritize your tasks. If you've experienced significant delays, challenges, or struggles, don't lose sight of your goal. The finish line is in sight. The number 10 symbolizes completion and the end of a cycle. Regroup and prepare to take on new challenges and responsibilities. Upright, it represents burden, responsibility, difficulty, heavy workload, exhaustion, burnout, overcommitment, pressure, and demands. Reverse, it represents share, delegate, boundaries, self-care, prioritize, moderate, moderate, purging, clearing, release. And I love
It's
that. Go ahead, go ahead.
oh, I was just going to say it's funny that you would think the reverse would be something like quote negative, but it's actually the positive of it. It's like this is what is looks like it's manifesting as this you being attached to things. So, if you want to reverse that, do this. That's how I see the a lot of the times that's how I because I like to read both because it's like what if one tells like they could both be telling you something you could be experiencing both things like you could be like oh I don't know what to do I do this or do I do that and the reversed will give you more insight.
I agree 100%. I like to read the reverse as well because it gives you a full picture of what's going on. And like you said, to get to where you want to go, you have to read the reverse, right? You have to, in this case, if you're overlong, if you're working too hard on something or stressed out, you have to set boundaries, prioritize these things, So I think you're right. That's what I was going to say. Something about the reverse. So it's perfect. That's you chimed in.
Yeah.
Amazing. Amazing, amazing. I thought there was
Amazing.
something, one more thing I wanted to say, but it'll come to me.
Yeah. So Today we're talking about the Tao, and we're not live because we have some things to do, but
Do
we
the
will.
Tao now.
Yeah, so we just thought we'd do a recording of it, and we will be in the live chat when it premieres.
Yeah, so shout out to the chat, by the way, whoever's in there hanging out. Thank you guys so much. This is exactly what we the best way to support us is to hang out in the chat, hit thumbs up, subscribe, all that fun stuff. Our subscriber, like I've just made it into a fun joke, our subscriber count, it just is like it
It's
goes from
steady.
like 825 to 830 to 820, 825 to 830. It's like, and then it's like 826 right now or whatever. It's so funny. Every time I get a new subscriber, I'll be like, oh, how many do we have now? And then I have like three less than last time. I'm like, but we just gained one.
So ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, it's free. It's a free service here on YouTube, so I can't really complain.
Yeah.
There's a lot of cool things they give us for free. So whatever. Thanks,
Yeah.
YouTube. But we don't monetize our videos. So if you'd like to support us, I just already told you how you can support us by doing all those great things. And the other way is to go to morelawsmoreproblems.com, click on the oversharing tab, and have at it.
Indeed. Well.
A little commercial in the beginning. All right. So today we're going to be talking about verses 39 and 40. Am I right about this?
Yes.
All right.
And 39 is long again. Just like the last time we have a part one and part two, because not everybody was long-winded, but Dwight Goddard and Stan Rosenthal were long-winded, so
I could have guessed that one of them was at least Stan Rosenthal.
yeah, and then 40 is very, very short.
Oh,
So,
cool. All right.
yeah, it makes up for
We're going into 4D. I mean, 40.
it. We're going into 4D
40.
someday.
Yeah. All right. Let me bring this up. How dare you? I'm already there. Just kidding. So, verse 39 of the Tao Te Ching. And if you are new, we suggest go back and start from the first one, but you can hang along and watch just so you know what we do. We read four different verses of each. Verse from the Tao Te Ching. So we have four different versions of verse 39 here. The first one, I'm going to read through. It's by Stephen Mitchell from 1988. In harmony with the Tao, the sky is clear and spacious. The earth is solid and full. All creatures flourish together, content with the way they are, endlessly repeating themselves, endlessly renewed. When man interferes with the Tao, the sky becomes filthy, the earth becomes depleted, the equilibrium crumbles, creatures become extinct. Oh, you know what? Just for everybody, because I was doing this, highlight it. That's what I just read right there. And that
And
for Stephen
keep
Mitchell.
going, because the
Oh, there's
next,
one.
just go one more slide and finish it. Yeah.
Oh, here we go. The
Yeah.
master views the parts with compassion because he understands the whole. I'm just going to highlight it here. Because he understands the whole. His constant practice is humility. He doesn't glitter like a jewel, but lets himself be shaped by the Tao, as rugged and common as a stone.
As stone.
As stone.
And I will read Dwight Goddard. He calls this the root of authority. It has been said of old, only those who attain unity attain selfhood. Heaven attained unity, and thereby is space. Earth attained unity, thereby it is solid. Spirit attained unity, thereby it became mind. Valleys attained unity, therefore rivers flow down them. All things have unity and thereby have life. Princes and kings, as they attain unity, become standards of conduct for the nation. And the highest unity is that which produces unity. Like, reminds me of the Ouroboros.
Yeah.
If heaven were not space, it might crack. If earth were not solid, it might bend. If spirits were not unified into mind, they might vanish. If valleys were not adapted to rivers, they would be parched. Everything, if it were not for life, would burn up. Even princes and kings, if they overestimate themselves and cease to be standards, will presumably fall. Therefore, nobles find their roots among the commoners. The high is always founded upon the low. The reason why princes and kings speak of themselves as orphans, inferiors, and unworthy is because they recognize that their roots run down to the common life. Is it not so? If a carriage goes to pieces, it is no longer a carriage. Its unity is gone. A true selfhood does not desire to be overvalued as a gem, nor to be undervalued as a mere stone.
When we talk about the breakdown, just reminding me of how this kind of reminds me of an apocalypse or like a reset.
Okay.
Remember.
Okay.
All right. Stan Rosenthal, 1984, Sufficiency and Quietness. From the principle which is called the Tao, the sky, the earth, and the creativity are one. The sky is clear, the earth is firm, and the spirit of the inner world is full. When the ruler of the land is whole, the nation too is strong, alive, and well, and the people have sufficient to meet their earthly needs. When the daytime sky is dark and overcast like night, oh, you know what? Here, everybody, sorry, I'm gonna highlight it. When the daytime sky is dark and overcast like night, the nation and its people will surely suffer much. Well, it will surely suffer much. The firmness of the dew-filled earth gives it life, gives it, its life. The energy of the inner world prevents its becoming drained of strength. Its fullness prevents its running dry. Take two in action. Its fullness prevents it running dry. The growth of all things prevents their dying. Part two. The work of the leader should ensure the prosperity of the populace. So it is said, humility is the root of great nobility. The low forms a foundation for the great, and princes consider themselves to be of little worth. Ooh. Each depends on humility, therefore. It is of no advantage to have too much success. So do not sound loudly like jade bells, nor clatter like stone chimes. All right. And the Aleister Crowley version. Yes, if you're new, Aleister Crowley did do his own interpretation of the Tao, and here it is.
All right. The law of the beginning. Pardon me. These things have possessed the Tao from the beginning. Heaven, clear and shining, earth, steady and easy, spirits, mighty and magic, vehicles, overflowing with joy, all that hath life, and the rulers of men, all these derive their essence from the Tao. Without the Tao, heaven would dissolve, earth disrupt. Spirits become impotent, vehicles empty, living things would perish, and rulers lose their power. The root of grandeur is humility, and the strength of exaltation in its base. Thus, rulers speak of themselves as fatherless, virtueless, unworthy, proclaiming by this that their glory is in their shame. So also the virtue of a chariot is not any of the parts of a chariot, if they be numbered. They do not seek to appear fine like jade, but inconspicuous like common stone.
Mm. So we're seeing a lot of common themes here, right? But I see the stone at the end is kind of used in different ways. Sometimes it's like you want to be like one. Sometimes you don't want to be like just a stone or something. It's very interesting.
It's the interpretation. It's the translator's interpretation.
Yeah, and the point here I'd like to make is that they're saying different things, but they mean the same thing.
Right? Yeah, exactly. I was
So
going to say
somebody
that
might
too.
argue over that. You might get two postulants of the Tao, and one's following the Crowley one and one's following another one. They might start arguing about it, saying the same thing. And we see this in organized religion all the time. That's just the reason why.
It's like that was not meant for arguing.
It's more like it's meant for pondering and arguing inside yourself about it, right?
Yeah.
And what I wanted to bring up
Exactly.
here, it reminds me of resets, and I'll bring this up as I start to read it. The reason why I'm thinking of like a reset or a cataclysm or something is because here, let's zoom up. Doot, 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 39, Stephen Mitchell. Okay, so first part right here, this first little paragraph. Bah, bah, bah. In harmony with the Tao, the sky is clear and spacious. The earth is solid and full. All creatures flourish together, content with the way they are, endlessly repeating themselves, endlessly renewed. But does it sound like that's what's going on right now? Does everyone sound like they're just, going along, doing their thing, endlessly renewed, and they're good to go? No, right? Like, it doesn't seem like the world is in accordance with the Tao, even though, we talk about the world being perfect, and right now it's doing what it has to do. But if
We're
you
in
think
a
about it,
Kali Yuga perfect. How about that?
exactly. Well, it's perfect because it
It's
might
a
not be our
cycle.
perception is perfect, but it has to be in this spot to get to another spot. Like, it's
Yeah, it's
just part
part
of
of a
the cycle, right?
cycle,
The downward,
the
even if it's down
Ouroboros.
or whatever. Yeah, exactly. And if you think about, if you connect the heavens, right, and the sky and the earth and everybody as one being, if the people here are acting not in accordance with the Tao, if people are not living the way it says right here in this verse, then maybe it will affect the sky. Maybe the sky will crack and the earth will crack or whatever it is. So maybe there's little hints here that, hey, if you notice that you're the one that's living in accordance with the Tao and maybe not everybody around you is, it's possible that some shit's going to go down, but don't worry, right? The world is perfect. So I
Did
don't
you
know.
read that first part or did you read both?
Nope, I just read the first part. And then,
Okay.
right here too. Ooh, there it is. When the man interferes with the Tao, the sky becomes filthy, the earth becomes depleted, the equilibrium crumbles, creatures become extinct. Well,
Well, I think that's where we're kind of at, right? We're in that slump.
yeah.
We're in the Kali Yuga part where man interferes with the Tao. It's all part of the plan, though.
In the way that Stephen Mitchell is describing it as like, oh yeah, polluted sky, because that's what makes sense to him, right? He's like, oh yeah, when things are out of alignment with the Tao, the sky's polluted, all this stuff. But what if the sky opens up and death and destruction come down for some people? That could be also part of it too, to restart the cycle. And the earth rents and opens up because it's saying, it's solid and firm. So I think
Yeah.
maybe that reset happens and the people who are left alive are the ones that are living more in accordance with the Tao. So then the world becomes kind of reshaped to their collective conscious, to whoever's
Golden
left.
age.
Yeah, golden age
Could
or
we say?
yeah.
It also makes me think of like things like fish falls and stuff like that. Because, yeah. When man interferes with the Tao, like in a Kali Yuga, could it be? All these things happen, right? Creatures become extinct. Well, so what? The realm knows what to do when creatures become extinct. If they're needed, they'll come back. They'll fall from the sky if need be.
It will fall from the sky.
Yeah.
That
If
seems
this
adequate.
realm needs something, it will get what it needs.
Exactly. So don't y'all worry about a thing. Don't you worry about a thing, man. Every little thing, it'll be all right.
Don't you worry about a thing, 'cause every little thing is gonna
It'll
be
be
all
all
right.
right.
All right. We are at Dwight Goddard. All right. The root of authority. It has been said of old, only those who attain unity attain selfhood. That reminds me of yoga, which the word yoga means unity. If you think of the word yoke and all these are all related, all these words. So anyway, it has been said of old, only those who attain unity can attain selfhood. Because when you go within, I'm already talking about it just from this first line.
Yeah.
When you go within and you recognize that we're all in this together, we're all one, we're not in the new agey sense, but you know, we are in the Jesus sense, because he talks about, you know, that we should be one in Christ, one with the Father, right? And what is the Father? It is this creator, this being, this eternal thing that can't be described, this Tao that cannot be described. So you, by going within and recognizing this unity, that's how you know about self. That's how you attain selfhood. That's what I'm understanding from this. All right.
You can, well, yeah, that you attain selfhood and you understand like the true self, right? What it really is, what you really are. Yeah.
Yeah. Heaven attained unity and thereby is space. Earth attained unity, thereby it is solid. Spirit attained unity, thereby it became mind. Valleys attained unity, therefore rivers flowed down them. All things of unity and thereby have life. Princes and kings, as they attain unity, become standards of conduct for the nation. And the highest unity is that which produces unity. I need a little bit of a help here. Earth attained unity and thereby is space. Not quite sure what he means by that. Earth attained unity, thereby it is solid.
Oh, heaven attained unity. Yeah.
Sorry, did I say the wrong word? Heaven attained unity and thereby is space.
Yeah.
Earth attained unity and thereby it is solid.
Back up.
I'm just surmising. Yeah, spirit attained unity, thereby it became mind. So I'm just, I don't know, what comes to mind for me is like when, like in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was without form and void, you know.
Yeah.
And darkness covered the waters of the face of the deep or whatever, and God breathed over the waters or something like that, right?
Yeah.
That's what comes to mind when I see this. But and it, what comes to mind when you read that?
It kind of, it, you know, we talk about spiritual realm and physical realm, right? It's like in the ethereal spiritual energy, we can even call it energy versus physical. So in the energy and the spiritual, when it attains unity, it moves into the physical so you can see it. So it manifests.
Matter.
So it matters. So heaven, or we can even look at it as like a translation process to us. This is what we see, you know. But it had to attain unity. So I think what they're trying to do is highlight what unity means by showing different aspects of our realm and how they manifest. So this way you can apply that to your own life. You know, hey, listen, this is how this happened. So here, let me highlight this again. Share this.
I like that. I like how you talked about the whole like, spiritual versus material, and how the unity of that creates what you can see, I guess. Like, it reminds me of, and God said, let there be light, and there was light.
Exactly.
That's what that reminds me of.
Yeah, yeah, it's the same type of idea. And here, I'll bring it back up now. I didn't mean to cut your face off when you were talking. There we go. You know, you come in, so here, let me just highlight the second part, and then he goes even on to valleys, right?
Yeah.
So the Tao is riddled with a lot of these things. They give several examples from different angles, and this I think is just showing different stages, you know,
right?
Air, solids, and
mind.
It would be like a plasma or whatever, you know, right?
Oh, okay.
Something
okay
like that. Maybe it could be, right. You know, just throw that out there. Yeah, ether, right?
Yeah.
Spirit, mind. So
Exactly. And then, so all things have unity and thereby have life. So all things, I mean, a rock, you know, crystals actually have a vibration, and that's why they put them in clocks. That's why they put them in timekeeping devices. Amazing. And, you know, let's see what, here's my little, what do you call these little thumb?
Oh yeah, like a worry stone or something. That's cool.
And I have one made of shungite as well.
Shungite. Nice. Shungite.
But yeah, so yeah, there's life in everything. In and could it be, this is also something I thought of as I was reading some Law of One stuff yesterday, and I sent it to Brandon. We'll probably be talking about, actually we
You've
may have
already
already
heard about
talked
it.
about it.
Yeah, go check out last week's episode because that's what we're doing tomorrow live, everybody. Behind the scenes. This is like a Wednesday before the last week's show.
As you've probably already heard me talk about,
Happy April, everybody, by the way, because it'll be April by the time you
oh
see.
yeah. Will it be a not April Fool's yet though, right?
Oh, that's Monday. Yeah, it would already have passed, but that's
Okay. Oh
Monday.
yeah.
Or.
I don't even know. I don't know what day it is. I just know we're planning because I'll be traveling, so. So, yes, and I've already kind of forgot what I was going to say, but it was about the Law of One that I've been listening to, and it was probably about unity and about all things. Oh yeah, how all things are, you know, if God created all things, this is my, these were my thoughts. If God created all things, and I think the Law of One maybe said something to this effect, but then, like, it's like nothing can harm or hurt me, or nothing is not of God, because even if we created it, quote, we, man, human, whatever, even if we created it, it's still of God. Like, because God created us, so, and gave us the ability to create. So even if people have like negative intentions to create something, right? A negative, you know, like, or doing it for money or doing it for whatever, fame. It's still God created.
Right.
So I
Even if
just
you're
think,
Puff Daddy. Which is probably going to be less relevant in a couple weeks, but who knows? It's more relevant this week. But yeah, no, I think you're exactly right.
so like I'm, you know, it's just another way to look at it and not feel like a victim, I think, is if you're like, well, everything in this world is of God. Pardon me, I need to clear my throat. But yeah, sorry. I don't know why I have this frog in my
A
throat.
frog ribbit. No, I think what you're saying is great. It is really true. It's kind of one of these concepts that we talk about a lot where you have to know what we mean by the words we're speaking. Because if you have a different definition than we do, which a lot of people do have their own definition for words and they don't realize it, or you know, we make up our own definition sometimes ourselves, Sharon and I or whatever. But yeah, exactly. Go check out
Yeah.
last episode. I'm sure we said it all, even though we're doing it live tomorrow and we haven't recorded it yet.
Yeah, I don't know if we've talked about it yet.
You could
But
let us know in the chat. You're like, oh yeah, we're probably talking about it in the chat right now. We're like, oh yeah, we talked about that last week, remember?
yeah.
We're getting really meta on people.
Yeah. Yeah, so there we go with the all things have unity and thereby have life. And it's like, yeah, because if all things have unity, that means they're all united with God, with the Creator. So they all have life. And princes and kings, as they attain unity, become standards of conduct for the nation. Yes, absolutely. Because even though there are people out there who, have these negative desires, and they're bent towards service to self, which is the negative polarity in the Law of One. If their intent is just to serve self, and I'm just, by doing this, I'm going to make a lot of money, or I'm going to have a lot of fame, or I'm going to have a lot of power, you know, even that, even though it's negative, right? It's for a purpose. But they, people like that, princes and kings, if they do this work and attain unity, then they can actually become good leaders and standards of conduct for their nation or the people around them or the people that they influence.
And even if they have bad behavior, right, it's going to then carry over to the masses. Kind of think about like what's going on in our country, you know, like Donald Trump, once he started like getting, he was president, and then like he went crazy, you know, it just took everything to a whole new level. The way people were on both sides were like interacting and talking to each other, you know, it's like nothing I've ever seen before. I'm like, the hell are you guys yelling about? Like, this guy's just a fucking reality TV star, you know, like, come on.
Like, what do you expect?
I think we're still on a reality TV show. I just think now you're a member of the show. You just don't even know it, right?
You're like, you're in the audience, buddy.
Not even, you're in the show. Like, you're a cast member. Like, everybody's a character now, a cast member, because they just open it up so you can choose to do what you want with that. I mean, if you're paying attention to it, right?
Yeah.
Like the world's biggest reality show. Now, 100%.
And then
this last
part
is this where you're kind of, I'll bring it up.
I can go to the next part.
Well, there's one more sentence, and it says,
Oh yes. And the highest unity is that which produces unity. Yeah. I mean, that made me think of the Ouroboros.
Yeah.
It's just that it'll come back to unity. It always does.
Yes. Let's see if I can find a picture of one.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
This is a good one.
The Ouroboros is the snake with a tail in its mouth, like a circle. That's from a movie. I can't remember, but it's I'm pretty sure it's like Rob Schneider. And I think he's the one who's marrying these two people, and so he says like a circle when he's talking about the ring. I can't remember what movie it
sounds
is.
Familiar. Deuce Bigelow. Here it is. So it's basically.
No, I don't think it was Deuce Bigelow. But
and these symbols can symbolize different ages and stuff. Ages that are done, they're closed because the snake is biting its tail. Also. So it just, you know, it just depends on your definition of it or whatever. But yeah, it just goes in cycles and stages.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to be in unity, the highest part is you have to create unity. That's what it's saying. Basically, you produce unity to be at the highest level of unity. So we do on the Oversharing Show. We try to bring everyone together, but not in a new agey gross way, but in a fun way. It's funny because I was talking to Joe and we have an idea we might be doing. I don't want to talk about it too much, but it has to do with like people on the internet and, you know, people following them and stuff like that, just different groups. And we were talking about like why he likes the Oversharing Show, what makes it different than other stuff that he's come across in the community, really, is what he was talking about, like the people behind it. And he's like, our common denominator, because we were talking about different common denominators of other groups can be different things, but of the Oversharing Show, it's mostly people that are like into self-healing and into, I would say, maybe getting a big picture of what's going on, like, because we talk about the Tao and the Bhagavad Gita and the Bible and, you know, the Torah, and we talk about all these different things. Maybe we didn't talk about the Torah, but we could always.
No, I don't think we have. Not really that much.
I just wanted to throw it in there. Yeah, we talk about it all right. Not out there. No, I'm just kidding. We talk about that in our meetings. No.
Our secret meetings.
But yeah, no, that's why we always, and it's funny because we, in the beginning of this, we would always tell people not to worship us, you know? But yeah,
But
that's
now we're
why.
telling you to. I'm just
Yes.
kidding. No,
No. So thank you guys are oversharing. The fans of the oversharing,
you know us too well. We're not
we
going to do that.
appreciate you guys so much. Yeah.
And if we ever do, I don't like to say that either, because, like, you know.
And if you do, but yeah, I think a reason why we don't get into a lot of that stuff is because it's our defense mechanism that we have. It's like a great defense where people turn it on and they just think it's boring. There's nothing to like grab onto to take a side one way or another. You know, I mean, I guess if you listen to a whole episode, you could like bash Aleister Crowley or something like that, you know. But that same thing that keeps us under the radar also keeps us to having a cool group because people in here, and that's the other thing Joe said. He goes, I'm sure everybody in the oversharing group or people that watch the show, we don't all agree on everything. We probably
No,
disagree on a bunch of different things.
yeah.
But
But the
we're
thing is that we stay open to other people's views and we don't bash them if they have a different view.
well, ultimately, we could also see how a lot of these views are the same. They're just said
Yes.
in a different way. So we try to
Yes.
focus on the similarities
Yes.
of holy texts and religions and all these, whatever you can call them. We try to
Yes.
focus on the common theme, what it
Absolutely.
means. So
Yes,
shout out to
indeed.
Joe P. What's up, Joe P? He'll be on soon again talking about Myers-Briggs, where we already have
Oh,
the plan. Don't worry, everybody.
yay.
Get your popcorn ready. We got slides. The lovely Sharon put together these awesome slides. I can't wait to do that presentation. We're just, you know,
Yeah.
everybody time zones and this and that, but we have it scheduled, so it's in the works.
It'll be fun.
It'll be a lot of fun. All right, where were we before we're over. It's
Before we
cool.
overshare too much.
You want to? No, I'm just before I just meant the time, like before it's like 3 hours later and we're just blabbing, which I love to do. I'm not complaining.
3 hours later.
3 hours later, Brandon's like, he
A
like,
three-hour
yeah.
tour.
Exactly.
Do, 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 do. All right. Dwight
Oh, yeah.
Goddard. I'll keep going. All right. If
I'm still
heaven.
stuck on Bob Marley. Sorry, go ahead.
If heaven were not space, it might crack. If earth were not solid, it might bend. If spirits were not unified into mind, they might vanish. If valleys were not adapted to rivers, they would be parched. Everything, if it were not for life, would burn up. Even princes and kings, if they overestimate themselves and cease to be standards, will presumably fall. So, yeah, let's see. So, if heaven were not space, it might crack. If earth were not solid, it might bend. Yeah, I don't know where he's going with this.
I would say that I think what he means is like if heaven wasn't the material that it's made out of, you know, it would crack. If earth wasn't the material it was made out of, it might bend. And you could look at this as just acting toward what your purpose is, you know, like doing your dharma type of thing. That's really what I think unity is about. It's like accepting and figuring out who you are. And then just from there, going on and doing your thing. Oh, and something I wanted to say earlier too, when we were talking about what were you were talking? Oh, service to self, right? So the law of one breaks things down by you can either
Polarize.
polarize negative or positive, right? So if you're polarized negative, it's because it's service to others. And
To
if you're,
self.
I'm sorry, it's
Polarize negative
yeah, you're
service to
right.
self.
I had the words
Yeah.
in my backwards.
That's okay.
I was thinking of
I was
one.
listening this time.
Thank you.
Sometimes.
But what I think that really means of the whole polarization and service. Okay, so service to others and service to self. You can also look at that just not as service, but how you think. You know, we talk about things like free will or all the time and what it really means. And the ultimate free will is to choose how you decide about what's going on around you. You know, are you a victim or are you not a victim? Same thing here, I think. Your outlook to yourself only, like a selfish outlook, and that's all you're worried about. So even your thoughts are selfish. Your internal world is selfish, which I think this society breeds people like that. So if you're like that, I mean, it's normal. This is the kind of stuff we talk about overcoming on the Oversharing Show, all this programming and bullshit. Or right, is your inside, is it focused on others and service to others and how you can, navigate every situation, not only with yourself in mind, but with others in mind. But I think to take it even deeper, because that could kind of get new agey, right? Because you don't want to just always be worried about others, and you don't want to be a people pleaser, and you don't for sure don't want to do all that stuff, right? We're coming up.
It's a balanced
It is,
approach.
yes, 100%. It is a balance, and we could take it back to the whole golden rule thing where you really have to, if you want to give service to others, you have to be able to meet your own needs first to become
Yes,
a
it's
great
the
person.
golden rule. It's what will benefit everyone involved, including
Exactly.
yourself.
So if you look at the whole law of one, the wordage that they use with the polarizing negative and positively, it really is just about the same thing, like getting to know yourself, the self-knowledge. But then when you're in your head and your everyday experience and you're going along throughout life, when things happen, you're not always worried about how everything's going to affect you. Like if there's something that happens in front of you, a classic example, you're in traffic, right? And you're like, you're sitting in traffic for all this time, like, what the hell is it like? What's going on up there? Like somebody better be dead up there, like that's the joke people say all the time. But think about that, what that really means, which, is I'm not judging anybody for having that thought. I might have said that before. But you think of the whole realm, like, okay, so you're stuck in traffic right now, but the whole realm doesn't care about you. It's everything is happening, and this is just the piece you have to experience right now. So you can have it in your mind that, oh, this sucks. I'm going to be late. What's going on? Or you could just say, oh, I can use this time now to pray or be with God or meditate or listen to some music or think about something or call somebody, make sure you use a hand-free device. Everybody would want you out there breaking the law. So, I think it really comes down to how you look at it. And that's like the secret key, because you could go out all day and just service to others, right? You could go to soup kitchens and feed people and do all these great things and help people. But if you still have that selfish mindset, you could be
That
going out
you're
doing
doing
that
that for yourself
because
because maybe you'll get into heaven or whatever by doing
you
it.
want to look good in front of people, or you just have a feeling inside that you're a piece of shit and you hate yourself. So you think by going out and do these things, you're going to feel better about yourself. And maybe you do in that moment. And then the minute you leave and say you have an addiction and you drink or something, then you're going to feel bad about yourself again. It's going to start this vicious cycle. You're going to have to go out again. But what people don't realize is.
It's like when people go to the confessional
Yeah.
and they're like, oh, forgive me, Father, for I've sinned. And what'd you do? Oh, XYZ. Okay, my son, don't go sin again here. Say 10 Hail Marys, whatever. Then he goes, says 10 Hail Marys. Then he goes and does it again. And then he's back at church the following week going, Father, forgive me, for I have sinned. What'd you do? XYZ. Okay, don't do it again. Repeat, rinse, repeat, rinse, repeat.
It's funny how people can take a concept and misconstrue it so much, because obviously if you are sinning or you're doing something negative in the world, we'll say you can always have redemption. You can always turn around and redeem yourself. But it looks like certain churches took the story of redemption and just made it like a drive-through. But of course, and you have to go through them for it, it is really funny. But to get back to the what we were both saying about this, that's really what it is. It's like if you want to, you have to get the self-love, you have to overcome that self-hatred, you have to learn to be okay with all the things and the desires and stuff that you have. Doesn't mean you have to act on every single one, but if you, whatever it is, you have a desire to drink and then you're like, oh fuck, I don't want to drink, and you get mad at yourself for having that desire, it just starts the spiral, and then you ends up leads to you drinking or whatever. So I think it really does start with like a clean mind, a clean slate. And that's why I really can't state enough that it's cool to get a practice. It's a really good idea to get a practice where you can gain some kind of control over your mind and these thoughts, and you get an outside view and start to love yourself, all of yourself.
Speaking of that kind of practice, Cody and I have been doing some intermittent fasting,
Oh,
but
yeah.
we've also been extending the fast a little bit. And yesterday We did a, I mean, he's done longer before, so. But yesterday we both did finished a 36 hour fast. It was more like 30. It was a little bit longer than that. It was more like
So is
about
that
80.
36 hours with no food?
Just water. Or black coffee or tea. But no, nothing that is construed as a caloric intake. So
Maybe we
nothing.
should talk about that on the show we do tomorrow a little,
It's
which will
because it
be last week, everybody.
yeah which is
I don't
which
plan
is
on this.
very eye-opening to just your desires, because you're just like, oh, I wish I could have a piece of chocolate right now, but I'm fasting. Or I why can't I just eat? I could just eat right now. Yeah, but it's this exercise in control and self-control. And it just teaches you to be in self-control mode.
It
So
helps you
yeah,
get a
it's
handle on your
just
desires, I would imagine, right? Just at least to know what they are and to figure it out, right? Yeah, I love that. Well, I was thinking about that too myself. I mean, I basically intermittently fast. I only eat one meal a day usually, and then sometimes I snack at night, but I really even haven't been going crazy at night. Like, we ate a pretty good meal yesterday, and that's all I ate. You know, the day before, I think we just had like a chickpea pizza. Sometimes I modify them. I'll put like potatoes, cut them up, baked potatoes, and put stuff on there. But we just had the regular whatever, and so might have had a couple snacks at night. But yeah, I keep it light, but it's interesting. It would be interesting to like not eat for 3 hours. I
I'll
feel like
send
I've
you
been
some
called to do it, you know, like I'm definitely.
I'll send you some videos I've been watching. This lady named Mindy, Dr. Mindy Pels or Peltz, not sure how to pronounce it. She wrote a book called Fast Like a Girl, because there were so many people out there talking about fasting, but they didn't talk about how women need to do it a little bit differently
So
according to their cycle.
before you say what it is, I just want to, is fasting like a girl, like you fast and just complain about it all the time? I have to get my misogynist comments in there so far.
So in addition to complaining, I'm just kidding. It's about around your cycle. So if you're a menstruating woman, this is how you should, because your hormones require different levels of glucose during your cycle. So there is a time frame for it's okay to fast this smaller amounts, like intermittent fasting, 13 to 15 hours, but longer is not good for you during a certain time period of your cycle, of your monthly thing. So, and it's actually not during your cycle, it's actually the week before. But it depends, it's basically starting on day 21 of a woman's cycle. That's when you should just eat kind of like regularly. You can eat things that are naturally good for progesterone to, because progesterone wants the glucose. So you can eat things like beans and potatoes and things like that, because your body will need that for the coming week during the cycle when the progesterone goes up. So
All right.
something like that.
Interesting. Yeah, send that over. I'll check it out. Me and Elizabeth will check it out.
Yeah,
Cool.
but there's a ton of like doctors out there doing videos. Like Cody's been watching them for weeks now, about just regular fasting. Because men don't have these requirements. Men can fast whenever. So,
That's right. Just like men can drive. You know, I think they started letting women drive. I think I saw some women yesterday stuck in a
they
parking
can
lot.
vote too. I'm just kidding.
Jesus.
Not that I care, because I don't.
I
But anyway, that's for another day.
vote by not voting. It's my vote.
Say what?
I said I
Oh,
vote
yeah,
by not
exactly.
voting. All right.
So,
Let's
do you
get
want to go to the
it.
last part of Dwight Goddard?
Yeah. Better
We're
go.
spending a lot of time
Oversharing today.
oversharing. But yeah, so these concepts of heaven, we're not space, it might crack. Maybe it's about that's the way it is, and if heaven were made of some other material that were a material
Or
versus being ethereal or whatever you want to call that.
if it's not in unity, that's what's going to happen, right?
Yeah.
If the heavens aren't space, because in the last verse it said when the heavens are in unity, they are space.
Okay, good call.
Or
Yes.
it's the same.
Yes.
Oh no, sorry, same verse, just the top part of the right.
Yeah, so
Heaven attained unity thereby
you're
space.
right. So if it's not in unity, then it would crack. Why? Because when God speaks, let there be, if it isn't being, right? If space isn't being what it was told to be, which was to be space or whatever, heaven to be like space, then it is not in unity with God. I love that. Yeah, that makes a lot more sense.
That totally does. I was thinking that I was going to say that before, but I thought it was the previous verse. But yeah, it's right in
It's the
even
same verse, yeah.
the same verse. Yeah, so cool. All right. Boom.
We haven't even read another verse, so it wouldn't have been the previous.
Yeah.
It might have, yeah, that's fine. So, if spirits were not unified in time, they might vanish. If valleys were not adapted to rivers, they would be parched. All these things are about like being in unity, right? If they are not in unity, these other things would happen. Everything, if it were not for life, would burn up. Even princes and kings, if they overestimate themselves and cease to be standards, they will presumably fall. Right. So when, yeah, they might not fall this lifetime. I've been listening to Edgar Cayce. You can take the screen down for a second if you want. Then I've been listening to There Is a River. It's a biography of Edgar Cayce's life. I'm about halfway through it. I've been listening to Audible a little over halfway. And it's interesting because it took like about half of it to like basically tell about his early life and like all the things that had to happen and just a lot of negative things, a lot of him having doubts about what was happening because he was basically like a medium. He was basically channeling something, some Akashic records, some people say, or maybe he even said, but and he was unsure if that was really of God, if it was the devil. Like he, for a long time, he had doubts. So about halfway in, when this man approached him and actually asked him questions about this realm, what are we living in? Why are we here? All these like metaphysical type questions. He was at first like hesitant, but then when he couldn't explain it and these things started to make sense, then things started finally being able to go in the direction of him opening up a not him himself, but like people with him who were on the same wavelength about it and were like, yeah, we want to help people. We want to open up the center to do these things and help people and have a space for that. That's when things started happening. But anyway, why was I bringing that up? Even princes, if they overcome themselves and cease to be standards, will presumably fall. I forgot why I was saying that. But if I remember,
All right.
I'll
Yeah, I'm
bring
sure
it back
when
up.
it happens, it'll come back. Just stop
But
trying to
yeah,
think.
it's something related to something like that.
That's funny. All righty, Rooney. So now we should go down and read the first part of Stephen or Stan Rosenthal. Sufficiency and quietness from the principle which is called the Tao. Oh, let's do this. The sky, the earth, and creativity are one. The sky is clear, the earth is firm, and the spirit of the inner world is full. When the ruler of the land is whole, the nation too is strong, alive, and well, and the people have sufficient to meet their earthly needs. So it kind of brings me back to the other verses that we wrote. It's just listing how it should be if things are in accordance with the Tao, right? Like, this is how everything works. It's great, isn't it? Yay. But if not, then let's see what he says. When the daytime sky is dark and overcast like night, the nation and its people will surely suffer much, right? 3 days of darkness, everybody. Think about it. If the sky went dark, what would happen? People would freak out, right? I mean, just an overcast sky, I'm sure they'll be fine. But if it's dark, really dark, like no light, the firmness of the dew. Okay, and here again, right? This might be a clue to what happens. The sky might, right?
The sky is falling.
The sky is darkening. The firmness of the dew filled, the firmness of the dew filled earth.
Dew filled earth.
The firmness of the dew filled earth gives it its life. The energy of the inner world prevents it becoming drained of strength. Its fullness prevents it running dry. The growth of all things prevents their dying. So I think it's kind of, he's animating the life principle that's in everything right here, right? He's talking about what keeps everything the way it is.
Yeah. So just FYI, I did add that hyphen there because I also read it and I was like, it's going to be easier to read if I just add the hyphen.
Yeah. No, I hear you. Dew-filled sky. So I don't think he's saying much here yet, really, right? Nothing too crazy. So we could probably go over the Aleister Crowley one.
Yes. So Aleister Crowley calls this verse 39 the law of the beginning.
Just going to scroll down.
All right. These things have possessed the Tao from the beginning. Heaven, clear and shining. Earth, steady and easy. Spirits, mighty in magic with a K. Vehicles overflowing with joy, all that hath life, and the rulers of men, all these derive their essence from the Tao. He's very succinct and very, he doesn't have to give you all the detail like Dwight Goddard did.
Yeah.
All right. Next part of it. Without the Tao, heaven would dissolve earth. I don't know if there was supposed to be a comma there. Heaven would dissolve, earth disrupt, spirits become impotent. I think there's supposed to be a comma after dissolve.
Okay.
Spirits become impotent, vehicles empty, living things would perish, and rulers lose their power. The root of grandeur is humility, and the strength of exaltation in its base. Yes, that humility part. So yes, these things have possessed the Tao from the beginning. Yeah. And then as we were talking about, like, what it reminds me of in the Bible, like when God spoke and everything was brought into being, whatever, like that's an allegory, right? But yeah, that, I think this reminds me of that too, you know, 'cause from the beginning, so you, God created it, you know, God created heaven, clear, shining, earth, steady and easy. Because even like there are scriptures in the Bible that says earth is on a firm foundation and it stands still. Spirits, mighty and magic. Vehicles overflowing with joy. And vehicles, I don't know, these bodies perhaps?
Could be. Right?
All that hath life and the rulers of men, all these derive their essence from the Tao. Right. I think who said it in the other one? I forgot who said something, but it was basically that, you know, we're all part of the unity. We're all part of God. I think it was Dwight Goddard. And it made me think of that, we're all united. Everything.
Earthing.
Rocks, trees, your computer.
Hitler. We're all connected, everybody. Hate to say it.
We're all one.
This
All
also
right.
kind of, this first part, it's just like he's kind of explaining how things are when they start and everything's perfect, right? And then you have the fall or whatever.
Right,
So,
from the beginning, right? Because he's talking about the beginning.
yeah.
Yes,
So
exactly.
this can even be just the beginning of a cycle or an age. If you look at the law of one, we're here to try to raise our consciousness and polarize the positive, most of us. So this could, he could be talking about the beginning of when this happened, and then it just kind of degrades from there. And at certain points, if there are resets, maybe that's why the sky does open up, because so many people are living not in accordance with the Tao. And I talk about how this is a spiritual realm all the time, and if it is a spiritual realm and it is created by the collective consciousness of everything here, our consciousness is definitely going to affect it. If we get huge groups of vehicles, which are men and women, to think certain ways, it's possible, or even to live opposite the way that they should, it's possible that it would affect the sky and the ground. So maybe it does bring earthquakes, and maybe it does bring death, destruction.
Egregores, right?
Yeah, but again, it's just part of the natural state of how things are. You're going to look
Right.
outside one day and it's going to be Sodom and Gomorrah. People are going to be going really bad behavior, and then maybe it gets destroyed. But as long as you have no fear and you're doing what you're supposed to do, I think that you will be fine, dear listener.
Right, absolutely. Something that someone sent, I can't remember who, was a Bashar. That's okay. Was a Bashar video, and I don't remember if it was because there's somewhere Daryl Anka talks about what Bashar is saying, and then there's somewhere it's Bashar. But what were you just saying? No, I forgot what I was going to say.
I was talking about how everything starts off, and then, well, basically, it's like when people start to live not in accordance with the golden rule or whatever, it actually affects the realm. Like the sky opens up, and but you don't have to worry as long as you're doing what you're supposed to be doing.
Oh,
Fine, yeah.
yes. Thank you. Not to worry, because Bashar was talking about how, you create your own reality tunnel, basically,
Oh yeah,
and
yep.
you don't have to worry that the people around you still hold the same views that they've always had, and maybe they're negative, maybe they're, always complaining or whatever. Maybe they're just like, oh, the world's gonna end, or this cataclysm is happening, or this is horrible. And you don't
Turning
have
the
to,
props gay.
if you're not vibrating along with that and you're viewing it around you, he says, don't worry, it's okay. You're still gonna see the people behaving that way, but you're just not in their same. You're just not in their same reality tunnel. It's true. We manifest what we like believe, what our thoughts are and stuff. Because if we are not in vibration with those kinds of thoughts, those kinds of things aren't gonna happen to us. Like if you're always in fear of something's gonna go wrong, then maybe something's gonna go wrong for you. Because you attract, we've talked about this before, you attract that to yourself. So, but anyway, Bashar was basically saying, don't worry when you see that. It's not saying that you're still in their vibration. It's just saying that you can observe it, but you're not part of it. And just as you can observe it and you're not part of it, they can observe you, and they might have a change or something happen that makes them go, oh, why is that person not afraid? Or why is that person so strong and so positive in their thoughts about this world and whatnot? And they might want to understand that, and they might want to emulate it. And who knows, you might affect people in a positive way.
Yeah, and the flip side to that, glad you brought that up, because I'd like to highlight the flip side, which is if you are still viewing what's going on in the world and you're paying attention to it and you fear it or you're mad at it or it affects your day, like why are these kids chopping off their dicks and saying they're women or they're boys or you know, I just try to think of all these examples of things people flip out about, you know, China or George Bush or Donald Trump, Richard Nixon. There's an old
Schmimmigrants.
schmimmigrants, schmilegal schmimmigrants, how dare they? By doing that, you are vibrating on that same. So now you bring yourself into that reality tunnel. And it reminds me of Salty Sarah, Sodom and Gomorrah, Lot. You know, the angels came down and said, Lot, you're the righteous man. Come with us. We're going to save you. God's destroying all of this. You and your family, good to go. Don't worry. As they're exiting.
Just don't turn around and look
Yeah.
back and wish you were back there or worry or fear or whatever.
Yeah. Well, and the funny thing is in the Bible, they just say, just don't turn around and look back at what's going on, right?
Yeah.
And it's a great analogy because we're still worried about what's going on in the world sometimes. So we look and we fear. And what I a great example of this would be what happened in Baltimore recently. You know, you could watch a video of that happening and that bridge collapsing and all this stuff, and you could observe it and be like, oh, cool. But if you're sitting there like freaking out about it, or China, like I saw something, somebody's like, it was China.
Oh my.
I'm like, hey, I don't think you have any idea how nations work. Like, if anything, it would be the United States and they would blame China because that would bring all the people together under the government in the United States and want them to support, you know, like you don't anyway. So, but see, there I go. I'm getting wrapped up in it. But whatever, it is what it is. So, but I think if you get wrapped up in it, that's when you like if you were talking
Vibrations.
about vibration and raising your consciousness to a higher, this is what would bring it down, you
Yeah.
know. You're gonna freak yourself out over it.
Yeah.
The way
And
I
dare
look
I s
at it, you know, it's perfect. It's what was meant to happen, and we'll see what comes of it. Maybe it'll be interesting. Maybe it'll make some bridge improvements, but it probably was a psyop. I mean, who knows, you know?
It folded like a house of cards. That's all I'm gonna say.
Yeah. No, I know.
And how
And the
many
other
times
thing
have
too is
how
with
many times
shipping.
have things been going through there the whole time?
Yeah.
And through many, many other bridges, and like nothing happens.
Yeah. No, I hear you. And I'm sure there's other means of control because I'm sure this isn't the first cargo ship that ever lost power while it was, you know. So yeah. It reminds me of the 7-Eleven thing when with the whole 7-Eleven thing, because any plane that diverts from its original course after a few minutes, it has jet fighters right next to it. Like, what are you doing? What's going on? You know, like we have
Right.
military aircraft in the air at all times, and we also have like they could scramble in 5 minutes and they go so fast they could be there. So anyway, it also reminds me like what was going on there, you know?
Is it
But again,
truly
if
an
you get wrapped up in
accident?
that and you start going down rabbit holes and you're like, oh, it must have been George Bush or the Illuminati, or maybe it was Jacob Rothschild's last hurrah before he died, or you know, like that again, it brings you down and brings you out of that vibration. So it's like looking back, that's where I was, Sodom and Gomorrah. They're leaving, you know, the angels are ushering Lot's family out. His wife turns around to see what's going on. She can't help herself and she turns into a pillar of salt. So I think that's our
Freaking
little warning.
chismosa mi totera.
Exactly. En el casa. No. En la casa. Damn it.
You've been studying your Duolingo, huh?
Yeah. And I didn't do it yesterday and it got so pissed at me by the end of the day. It like sends me this thing. It's like, you have this much time. And I just was like, well, because it wants you to do it. Everybody, just so we know, we're talking about Duolingo. It's an app where you can, a great app. You learn how to speak another language. It's really cool. And if you do it every day, it gives you certain streaks, you know, if you don't have the
Yeah.
version. And yesterday I didn't get a chance to do it. And by the end of the day, it was like, you have like an hour left before you get it. And I just like erased the notification. I'm like, you know, I'm not going to do it.
Just
Like,
because you're
I, yeah, exactly. Obviously, you don't know you're dealing with an INTP Duolingo app. Like, you, Mr. App, you don't know that you can't tell me what to
silly. So turn your notifications off.
do. Yeah, probably.
Just
No,
to
I'll
say.
get back to it again. I
Yeah.
just,
Yeah, I know. It's all good.
yeah. So, but the theme of all this, everybody, this is our nice little oversharing tangent. Don't turn around. Don't worry about that. What's going on? Don't even. I would say don't even look at it, you know, until you get to the level where everything is all right. And if you have the view that the world is perfect, then sure, you can look at it and check it out. It could be interesting to you to see what's going on or whatever. But
Or look at it all you want because you're
oh, yeah.
just going to have to do it till you're done.
Yeah. Keep looking at it. But if you're trying to like,
If you want to become a pillar of salt, I'm just kidding.
you want, listen, salt's expensive. The prices are going up. You know, you could talk a woman into being your wife and then be like, hey, turn around, honey. Now you got free salt for the rest of your life, you know?
Oh my God.
All right, children, as we enjoy our French fries today, I want you to think of mom because these French fries would be
Were
not
made with her
palatable.
salt.
It
Oh my
wouldn't be as
God.
palatable without mom's salt.
The salt of the earth.
The salt of the
Ye are
mother.
the salt of the earth.
Right.
To dust ye shall return.
I should just become like a Bible stand-up comedian, just make jokes from the Bible. What's the deal with Sarah? What's the deal with salty Sarah? They said don't turn around, and she did. Now she's salt. That's my best Seinfeld impersonation. Now she's salt. What are you gonna do with a pound of Sarah? All right, let's get back to the Dow, shall we?
Oh, were we finishing up Aleister Crowley?
Yes. Did you read this part yet? Yeah, you read it.
Crowley. Remember Aziraphale?
Crowley.
Crowley.
I
Okay,
think you
let's
read this,
see.
right? Without the doubt.
Yes, I did, but we didn't talk about it really, I don't think.
Okay.
So like you were saying, the top is kind of about the beginning, right?
Yep.
And I think this is talking about
The reset.
like a reset.
It's pretty plain. I mean, it says without the Tao. So you could even be like, all right, so when things stop living in accordance with the Tao, heaven would dissolve, earth would
Kali
corrupt,
Yuga reset.
spirits become impotent, whatever that means exactly in his,
I'll
maybe they
look
won't
it up.
be able to affect us as much or help us, right? Or, who knows? Or maybe they become more negative.
Yeah, lacking power or ability or utterly unable. Yeah, they just aren't able to help us anymore, perhaps.
Yeah. Vehicles empty. So people are
Oh,
empty.
bodies empty?
Yeah, right.
Vehicles?
NCP NPCs, right? You hear NPC that term maybe. And again, I think that's just a vibration. I feel like everybody has some kind of spark in them, probably, maybe not, maybe I'm wrong, but I think that
Oh, yeah.
the normie NPC thing is just, I was talking about this today with Sarcastic Warlock. Shout out to Sarcastic Warlock, everybody. Him and Cass were actually in the chat when the Oversharing show took a week off.
Oh, okay.
I shared that thing because every once in a while they'll stumble in. So it was cool that they like Jeff and everything. So I talked to him a little bit. So shout out to them. But yeah, the whole NPC thing, we've talked about that before, though. You can't just go around murdering people or, whatever. Do whatever you want. Just don't tell them that the Oversharing show told them to do. We don't murder is what we say here. But if you want to do it,
Yeah,
I don't think
follow the golden
we're
rule.
not your parents. We can't tell you not to.
Do whatever you want as long as you're following the golden rule. That's all I have to
There you go.
say.
That's better.
But if you're not going to follow the golden rule, you're probably, if you have no inclination or desire to follow the golden rule, you're probably not in this crowd anyway. So
Unless someone's forced me to watch the
you
Overture.
probably thought it was boring and you already left. So
That's right. Good for you.
goodbye.
And
Au revoir. Arrivederci.
enjoy.
Ciao.
Gonna try to think of another. Ah, well, I don't
Enjoy the D.
enjoy CNN. There you go. We'll say that. It'll be nice. I was gonna say like another channel or something, but I couldn't think of anything
Okay.
that I wanted to pick on. All righty, Ronnie. Oh, yeah, I think I was gonna
Oh,
say.
vehicles empty. Living
Yeah,
things would
vehicles
perish.
empty. Yeah.
And rulers would lose their power. The root of grandeur is humility. And the strength of exaltation in its base. Okay, this part, the rulers lose their
The root of grandeur
power.
is humility.
This made me think of something. Hold on. Living things would perish. Rulers lose their power. It flew out of my head. All right. But I do like the humility part because I think that's huge. And ever since I was really young, I like noticed humility a lot. I noticed arrogance and pride, and I noticed humility. It's just something that I, ever since I was growing up, I could kind of, I'd see it in people. And as I got more in tune with, the things that we talk about on this show in the last several years. It just became a lot more obvious to me. Sometimes I would overlook it because I would think, oh, that's just me being judgmental about that person. But then things would become obvious over time. And it would show its true colors. So,
And that's we've talked about this before too, where the real difference between like judgment and discernment. Like you could totally be like, that guy's a dirtbag. I don't want to hang out with him. I don't like his behavior. But it's
that's discernment.
that's the discernment. And then the judgment comes in and it's like, I'm better than him because he's a dirtbag and I'm better than him. And look at how bad he's. And Sharon, can you believe what they're doing over there at that channel? Like CNN, can you believe what they're doing over there? You know, that would be us judging it more. So we, because the new PG way, I think, is like, oh yeah, it's all fine. Just hang out with the guy in the dirty van. He'll be great. Like,
Exactly.
perfect.
No, in the
New agey.
non-new agey way is to be like, no, I get weird vibes from that guy. I'm just gonna stay away. God bless him. I don't hate him, but he's not vibing. I'm not vibing with him. So, au revoir until maybe one day we vibe.
Au revoir, Pee Wee. That's where I learned how to put au revoir from the Pee Wee Herman movie.
Oh, I never, if I did watch it, it was many years ago, but Cody used to love that movie.
Large Marsden. He probably loves that one, right? All right. All right, everybody. We're going to get this on track. We promise. No.
My God, I know. We're so
I like
out
what
of
you're
it.
saying about humility, though. I think it's so true because that goes along with what I was talking about the inner love for yourself. Part of it is also humility and being humble and realizing just because you got to this plateau or next stage of your consciousness evolution, you know, it's way up here. You got to remain humble about it. You know, I look at myself as kind of lucky. I'm like, cool, I'm lucky that I was able to. I guess that's not the right way either. I
I'm
guess
blessed,
blessed. There you go.
or like,
Blessed are thee, blessed are you, because you have seen what all the holy man have wanted to see and have not, or whatever. That kind of vibe, Matthew vibes. And I'll put this back up now because you were.
okay, I was going to say about the rulers lose their power. I just remembered. It made me think of karma, and it made me think of the Edgar Casey stuff. Maybe this is
Oh, okay.
what I was thinking of, but like, here it says, and rulers lose their power. Well, it may not happen this lifetime because, karma doesn't always work within, one single lifetime. You could be working on your karma for multiple lifetimes. So just because you don't see it happen, it says like rulers lose their power when they're not, in accordance with the golden rule, the Tao. So you can't just be like, oh, well, it's not fair, or that guy's still the XYZ, and how come? And, well,
How come Joe Biden's still president? How come
let God
Joe?
worry about that.
How come Biden's
Vengeance is mine,
still the
saith the
president?
Lord. That's what
Yeah.
that means.
Yeah, that's true. And also they don't have true power. You know, what do you mean by power? Like nobody really looks. They have their base, right, of people who support them, and that's it. The rest of the country fucking hates Joe Biden, right? Like, and the other rest of the country hates
The other
Donald
guy.
Trump or whoever. I have no idea what's going on in the election. I'm gonna vote for Mickey Mouse again like I do every year. Actually, I got some info on Mickey. I might not be voting for him this year.
I just don't vote for anyone.
Yeah, it turns out he might have some ties to a certain party in a certain country that where liverwurst is from. Bratwurst. Anyway, talk
Bratwurst is
about Nazis,
good.
everybody. Nazis is
We
it? Mickey Mouse.
had a Polish dog the other day, and we had some sauerkraut
Ooh.
and some Dijon mustard.
Oh, so you got the French, you got the Polish, you got the German in there.
We got it all in there. Yeah, we sure did. All those European countries.
Now you just need a croissant.
European.
If you're American when you're not in the bathroom, what are you when you're in the bathroom? European.
European.
Shit.
That's a good one.
Oh, you've never heard that?
No.
Oh, that's like an old, that's like spell I cup. You ever hear that?
Oh my God.
Yeah. Or what are
Yeah,
you eating
that's
under
like third
there?
grade humor.
Underwear. Yeah. It's all the great things from the 90s.
Oh my God.
That's the humor we bring here, everybody. We bring third grade level humor from the 90s. You're welcome. Even though in
Yes.
the 80s, I was in third grade, not the 90s.
So,
So
should
you
we
move
go ahead?
on?
Yeah, should we do the part twos of verse 39?
Yeah, let's do that. I think it's pretty self-explanatory. Oh, 39. Sorry, everybody. We got a preview of last week, a couple weeks ago. Okay. So part two. Oh yeah, I gotta go. Here we go. So part two of Stephen Mitchell's verse, the master views the parts with compassion because he understands the whole. His constant practice is humility. There it is again. He doesn't glitter like a jewel, but lets himself be shaped by the Tao, as rugged and common as a stone. Now, I
As stone.
love as stone. Yeah, I'm thinking of a crystal and a stone. Yeah, I can't stop it. I love that though, because so many people, and I was like this too when I first started into spirituality. I'm like, oh, I'm going to learn all this stuff and I'm going to be like wise and people are going to listen to me and I'm going to be able to like change people's lives. I'm going to be this glittering jewel. But now I realized, I mean, I'm still a glittering jewel. Everybody look at me and listen to my voice. But what I mean is,
That's still humble.
yeah,
Just kidding.
no, I'm just,
That's called self-love, you guys.
yeah, it is self-love. That's right. But the whole concept of being, just like as stone, I love it because stone exists in nature in its raw form. And, that's one thing another thing I love about my woman, Elizabeth, because she loves crystals, but it's not always like you don't always have to get the shiny cut ones. She loves the raw ones too in their regular form. And I think that's really important to see yourself in your raw form, as you are, and to find every piece and love it and accept it. And then you could just be like a stone and it doesn't matter. Like stone. I'm
Absolutely.
also thinking of that song Like a Stone by Chris
Okay.
Cornell.
Oh, okay.
Or no, I it was Audio Slave, I think, did it, but Chris Cornell was the singer. So I always think a stone. But yeah, remember everybody, it doesn't matter what the outside or the window dressing looks like. That's kind of what that reminds me of too.
Yes. Don't judge a book by its cover.
Yeah. There you go.
Yes, so
Second.
Dwight Goddard says, therefore, nobles find their roots among the commoners. The high is always founded upon the low, the reason why princes and kings speak of themselves as orphans, inferiors, and unworthy is because they recognize that their roots run down to the common life. Is it not so? That, yeah, totally. We're all one. We all come from the same thing. And if in this lifetime you were born from a wealthy, family who is well known and well, whatever, great. But many lifetimes ago, maybe you came from a very poor and humble family. We're just all experiencing different parts of that throughout our lifetimes,
Or even your own family you live in now that's rich could have been poor at one point, and then they had to work up to get to where they are. Yeah. So it's all cycle, right? And then again, rich, what is rich? Like rich in what? Money? You want to be rich in what
Exactly.
about love? You have no love in your
Right.
family, but you have all this money. It doesn't matter, right?
Exactly.
I
Exactly.
mean, unless you like jet skis. There you go.
Yeah. So if a carriage goes to pieces, it is no longer a carriage. Its unity is gone. A true selfhood does not desire to be overvalued as a gem, nor to be undervalued as a mere stone. So, yeah, talking about the carriage going to pieces, yeah, if something loses things, and then by definition, it cannot be what it used to be because it lost what it did, then, quote, its unity is gone. Let's see what that means. He says, a true selfhood does not desire to be overvalued as a gem, nor to be undervalued as a mere stone, because there is this middle path, right?
There's that
You're just,
self-love aspect too, right? You don't want to.
yeah.
And it's funny because we just got done talking about the verse that said you want to be just like stone. And now this one's like, no, you don't want to be undervalued like stone. So it's, again, different
It's just
interpretations, and we
a
can agree with both.
perspective.
Yeah, a different perspective. And I love that because you're right. You shouldn't undervalue yourself, because when you undervalue yourself, then you start looking to outside sources for your own validation. And that's
Absolutely.
when you end up getting sucked up into a cult. My favorite cult is the United States of America. You get sucked up with that
Oof.
one, and you're every day, or, and we need to go to war and all this stuff.
Yeah.
But what is it really inside you that's causing you to look at it, right? It's because you don't accept yourself. And I know I've been repeating myself and saying this theme, but I think it is really important. So
Yeah.
get your own show, and then you don't have to.
Listen to you.
My naysayers, I don't think there's any naysayers left, like you were saying. We are all our naysayers are sleeping, they got bored.
Yeah, true selfhood does not desire to be overvalued as a gem, nor to be undervalued as a mere stone. They just want to be like you, like everyone. We are all one.
Humble.
And we're not, so, and then the thing is too, like you were saying, Stephen Mitchell says, rugged and common as stone, right? So that, yeah. Yes, and then yes and no, because Dwight Goddard says not to be undervalued as a mere stone. It's just perspective. Like, we can agree with Stephen Mitchell's view, yes, and we can agree with Dwight Goddard's view too. Yes.
Also,
Yes and
Stephen
no.
Mitchell is talking about the exterior world, people looking at you, or Dwight Goddard is saying you looking at yourself, right? So it's
Yes.
okay to be hidden in like common rough stone, right? But you don't want to think of yourself as just some regular whatever stone. You want to think of yourself as, in a way,
It's about
just.
self-worth
Yeah, just as
and
important as ever.
value.
Think about whoever you hold as the most important person in the world. Like, you should think that you're that important too. You should at least
Yes, exactly.
think that, like,
And to me, it's like just be.
yeah,
That is, it's
not
the
all these other
balance
people.
of just being.
Yeah, just being,
Right.
exactly. And that's where the pit and the pedestal thing comes in, because as soon as you overvalue somebody more than you value yourself, then somebody else has to be undervalued. And sometimes that somebody is you, your own self. You're putting yourself in that pit. Don't do it.
Pretty cool.
Don't go in the pit. I quit. I don't know. I'm trying to think. Don't
You
put
want to
yourself
do
in the pit. Yeah.
Stan Rosenthal's
I'm
part
trying to
two?
think of funny. Slow up. Part two of Stan Rosenthal. Here we go. Let me get my highlighter ready. The work of the leader should ensure the prosperity of the populace. So it is said, humility is the root of great nobility, and nobility, the low forms a foundation for the great. I love that because it's, I mean, basically it's reiterating what the other ones are saying, but it's telling you that these people up here that you're putting on a pedestal or whatever, the ones they're held up. There's a whole support system and a foundation. The ones at the bottom are the lowliest ones. We're all one, everybody. Guess what? I hate to break it to you. So if you think you're way up high and mighty, well, guess you're just standing on somebody else. And it doesn't have to be in a bad way or whatever, but that's, if you just remember that, right? You might, like, we've used this metaphor before, where, like, if we're all just a big horse, or we're all big dragon, because I'm a dragon, everybody, right? I was born in 1976, allegedly. We're all a dragon. Some people are the head, some people are the tail, some people are the feet, whatever it is. But it's like us at the head being like, look at that foot over there. It's fucking, I'm gonna bite that foot. And then you bite it and it's your own foot. You're like, ah, shit, that sucked. I just bit my foot. I think people are getting it.
Oh, like the dog chasing its own tail.
Yeah. Yeah, my cat was Jason's tail there. It was so funny. And princes consider themselves to be of little worth. Oh, I guess that is a whole. So I'll just highlight this quote here. Okay. Humility is the root of great nobility. The low forms a foundation for the great. And princes consider themselves to be of little worth. Yeah, I love it. Right?
Yeah.
Each
It's
depends
like,
on. Go ahead, go ahead.
Just because you're, quote, a ruler or you're in a held in a high position doesn't mean you have to lord it over everyone. You can consider yourself
That's your dharma.
at the same level as the people that you're, quote, ruling over.
Yeah, it's I think a good leader. You know, this is a quote I'll bring in from Dune, because Sharon and I were talking about this a little bit, but everybody's heard a million times, power corrupts, absolute power corrupts absolutely. Well, in Dune, in the later books, they have this saying where somebody says that, and then a character corrects them and says, you know, we found that it's not power that corrupts, but power attracts the corruptible, which I
So
really.
that sounds like cult leaders and cults to me.
Oh, or anybody, you know, any kind of power, like the presidency. Yeah, you're right. Cult leaders, like the president, right? He's the biggest cult leader we have, because it's not power's fault. Power, it's not power,
Yeah,
right?
power can't
Power
do
didn't
anything.
actually corrupt the
Power,
person. It's the person having the power that made them corrupt, right?
yeah. Well, it's the person with the quote power who chose to polarize it in a negative way and chose to polarize as service to self versus service to others.
And I think if you are a noble, good leader, like they're talking about here, a noble prince or whatever, you really don't have to have power. You don't have the power. It's the powers in the people, and you realize that, and that's how you base your kingdom.
You can
And
empower the people by being. By showing that I should say positivity, but like that humility that you, I mean, the Tao talks about rulers like this all the time. We've done many verses on that. But anyway, go ahead.
yes, you could be a leader, and you don't have to take all this power and hoard it. You could share the power in a way, you know, so everybody has
Delegate.
delegate. Yeah, exactly. That's all
That's
I
what
wanted to
ENTJs do.
INTPs, we just vacillate between decisions until we're like, analysis paralysis. I'm just gonna go
With something.
read a book. No. All right. And then the rest, each depends on humility. Therefore, it is of no advantage to have too much success. See, there it is. So do not sound loudly like jade bells, nor clatter like stone chimes. Again.
Wow.
So it's not about bragging, right? It's not about saying how awesome you are. It's just about being humble and being the person you are, and doing what you can do in your own life. All right.
Yeah, so that last part about ringing the bells, it reminds me of a verse in the Bible. I'll read it. Matthew 6, verse 5 through 6, I think. Jesus is speaking and he's saying, it's talking about when you pray. So, this is giving an example. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. There was, I could have sworn this talked about ringing bells or something, like ringing bells in the street to let everybody know that, oh, I'm here, you guys. I could have sworn that it talked about that.
Oh, in the Bible,
Yeah,
the
because
Bibele.
I swear my mom says it. She's like, don't ring the bells. And she means like, don't tell everybody. Like, you don't have to let everybody know.
Unless you're
So.
trying to convert them, and then you want to tell them everything. No, you know, this reminds me of what we were just talking about with power, because it's like Jesus, when he was tempted by the devil, right, or whatever, he brought him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the universe. How, I'm not sure how you could do that on not a flat plane, but so he showed him all the kingdoms of the universe, and of this realm anyway. I'm sorry, not the universe, of this realm, and told him, you know, I can make you leader of any of these if you want. And Jesus refused, because he understood about power, right? And he was not corruptible, so he was not attracted by the power. And yes, I still think power can, absolute power will corrupt anybody. I'm sure that tries to grab it, right? But you have to look at it backwards and just remember that it's the corruptible that are drawn toward it. Are you corruptible?
Yes, it's the corruptible. And you know what? It's okay. Everybody's in their own Ouroboros. Everybody's on their own cycle, their own path. And maybe this lifetime they're working out all those negative tendencies. And maybe the next lifetime they'll polarize positive. We don't know.
We don't know. All right, I'm going to bring it back up. Okay, you want to read the second part of the Crowley?
Yes. All right. Thus, rulers speak of themselves as fatherless, virtueless, unworthy, proclaiming by this that their glory is in their shame. I don't know what it reminds me of, but I feel like I've heard that before somewhere. Maybe it's biblical or
Yeah,
something.
it does sound biblical.
Yeah, it's like I think Saint Paul said something about that, something like, I glory in my weakness or something like that. Yeah, anyway. So also the virtue of a chariot is not any of the parts of a chariot if they be numbered. So he also talked about a chariot. Someone, was it Dwight Goddard who also mentioned the chariot? Yeah, the carriage he called it. If they be numbered, oh, sorry. So also the virtue of a chariot is not any of the parts of a chariot if they be numbered. They do not seek to appear like fine jade, but inconspicuous like common stone. It's funny how these interpretations differ, right? Because Stan Rosenthal says, so do not sound loudly like jade bells, nor clatter like stone chimes, which to me is like, don't draw attention to yourself, like in the sense of like with a selfish interest, right? With service to self in mind. Like, you don't have to be like, oh, me, look at me all the time. Can you just be? Can you just, like Jesus even said, like,
I thought you were going to be like, Jesus Christ, can you just be? I thought that's what you're...
Jesus Christ, can you just be like him?
you just be like him, like Jesus?
Yeah. But even he said, I lost my train of thought, but yeah, he basically was saying that same thing. And then Aleister Crowley says something that's in a different light, I suppose. They do not seek to appear like fine jade, but inconspicuous like common stone. And he's more in line with everyone else. This time, Stan Rosenthal said something different, I think. What do
Well,
you
I think
think?
Stan Rosenthal and Dwight Goddard said similar things. Because here, let me go.
Undervalued as mere stone and common as stone. See, Stephen Mitchell, Dwight Goddard, and Aleister Crowley are talking about just like being like common stone. And Stan Rosenthal's the only one who says, who uses this translation a little bit differently and says, not to sound like, like basically don't draw attention to yourself. I
And
maybe, or it could mean other things too.
what I was saying was that Dwight Goddard says you don't want to be like stone. Like Stephen Mitchell says you want to be like stone. Dwight Goddard says you don't want to be like stone. And then Stan Rosenthal also is like, don't be like stone, kind of, right? Like stone. And then Aleister Crowley is saying you want to be common and inconspicuous like a stone. And I think the difference is because the Stephen Mitchell version and the Aleister Crowley version are talking about inner. And I think that Dwight Goddard and Stan Rosenthal are talking about the outer world.
Well, Aleister Crowley is also talking about the outer, right? They do not seek to appear like fine jade,
Oh,
but
yeah, I guess you're right
inconspicuous like
there.
common stone. But yeah, they're all talking about being like that while Stan Rosenthal is talking about sounding like them or clattering like them. You know what I
Oh
mean?
yeah, I think I got that one backwards. My bad.
It's okay. It's okay.
I think Aleister Crowley and
And Stephen
Stephen
Mitchell.
Mitchell are talking about, yeah, your appearance. But I guess Stan Rosenthal is kind of talking like about your appearance too. It is interesting though, we have the word stone that appears obviously in the Tao at first, and you just have four different kind of interpretations. Some are good, some are bad. That's pretty interesting. All right. All right. Should we go
Shall
back?
we go to verse 40, which is all on one slide?
Yeah, let's do it, everybody. Look, verse 40. Boom. See how short they are?
They're very short.
There we go. Perfect. You know what that means?
This is going to be short.
Well, I mean, who knows what that because of our, but the
Yeah,
message is
because
probably very simple, right? There's some simple message here they want you to get. Let's see if we can figure it out, shall we?
you have something highlighted
Oh,
right
okay,
now.
omitting, yeah. Here we go. This is what we're reading right now. Return is the movement of the Tao. Yielding is the way of the Tao. All things are born of being. Being is born of non-being.
Dwight Goddard, he calls this avoiding activity. Retirement is characteristic of Tao, just as weakness appears to be a characteristic of its activity. Heaven and earth and everything are produced from existence, but existence comes from non-existence. That's funny. That's interesting. That'll be fun to break down right now.
The void. Being a non-being, the motion of nature is cyclical and returning. Its way is to yield, for to yield is to become. All things are born of being. Being is born of non-being. Ooh, exactly what Stephen Mitchell said. Wow. I think that's the first time that happened where it's like it's
Wow.
heard.
What?
Yeah.
Whoa. I didn't even notice that when I put this together.
That's the whoa woo way whoa.
Crazy. All
Whoa
right.
way woo. Sorry.
Aleister Crowley calls this omitting utility. I'm just comparing that to being and not being and avoiding activity. All right. The Tao proceeds by correlative curves. And it might, sorry, and its might is in weakness. See, that reminds me of that verse from Paul. All things arose from the day, and the day budded from the Tao. I like that. I'm gonna look at this verse by Paul, so keep going.
Well, I think we're good. That's it. Unless you want me to, we can start breaking it down. So, return is the movement of the Tao. Yielding is the way of the Tao. So, what do they mean? Return. I think what he means by return is everything is returning back to its ultimate state, its state of perfection, even though it is perfect, right? You know, but everything's returning back. Everything's coming home. So any action that you see out there in the world, it's just equilibrium taking place. You're just not seeing it. You know, there's like a scale that's like doo 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 or waves on an ocean. You know, they'll slowly get back to flat. Everything is returning back to normal, everybody.
Ouroboros, everything's returning.
That's right. And then the next part he says, yielding is the way of the Tao. So yielding is kind of just like going with the flow. Right, you're not fighting against things, you're just
You
going.
yield to traffic. You don't like have to stop dead in your tracks. You don't have to go full force. You're just gentle around those curves. You're
Yeah.
gentle around that roundabout.
Yep. And just so everyone knows out there, public service announcement, a yield sign is like a stop sign if there's another car coming, so please stop.
Yes, we're not
I
telling
hope
you
people
not
try
to
to
stop
beep the
at all.
yield sign.
But
I'm
yeah.
like, do you know what yield means? Yeah, but exactly. So you're right. If you come to a yield sign and there's traffic going, you have to get into, you want to merge into it when you have an opening. It's peaceful and it's perfect. You merge right in.
Yes. And then all things are born of being.
Yep. All things are born of being. So all things are born from something that is. But is born of something that is not.
Which sounds like it doesn't make sense. It's a paradox. And then people might be like, That's crazy. What does that mean? Well, it's all allegory as well, too. It's like wordplay and stuff as well. So we talked about the Tao many times, and the Tao cannot be named, right? It is unexplainable. It always was and always is and always will be. You know, it's the creator, it's God, it's whatever word you want to use for that. But it's almost like, I think, let's see, Dwight Goddard says, we haven't gone there yet, but he says non-existence. Could it be, if this is just like a word play to be like, you know, this creator that you can't see, that you can't understand, that you can't express, that you can't, that creator created all that is, the being part.
I think it's kind of highlighting that it's outside, right?
Outside
Whatever
of
the
our
creator was is something
ability to know.
we're not going to be able to realize exactly because it's our ability to know it. And it also is highlighting cycles. I feel like it's another like cyclical thing, right?
Yes. Again, yes, it's like again a like Ouroboros or cycle.
You want to read the Dwight Goddard thing?
Yeah. So Dwight Goddard calls this avoiding activity. That's kind of you know, like the Wu Wei, Wei Wu Wei stuff, right? Being numb,
Really.
being doing, not doing. All right, retirement is characteristic of Tao, just as weakness appears to be a characteristic of its activity. Retirement. Does he mean like not participating sometimes? Like when he says retirement?
I think because Tao is so Tao is what represents the nothing, right? The void, the being, whatever, the non-being, the non-existence. So I think retirement is something you think of retirement as when you're ending something that you're doing. So that
Stop, or you,
I feel like it's an ending, maybe is what they're saying too, is like a characteristic of the Tao, like heading toward non-existence. Which is would be the same thing of
again,
like
the
heading toward
cycle,
the room.
yeah,
Yeah.
it's the bottom of it, you know, or the, you know, the tail of the Ouroboros or whatever, however you want to see it. Just as weakness appears to be a characteristic of its activity.
And I feel like the weakness appears to be a characteristic of its activity means that you can't see the Tao. It doesn't seem like it's something that's powerful or would affect you, so it would seem weak.
Okay. Yes.
I we'll see though as we go along. Maybe we'll get more
For sure.
clarification.
All right. Heaven and earth and everything are produced from existence. But existence comes from non-existence. Oh man, this is lovely. So it again, it's paradoxical, right? And it's wordplay and it's all these, it's metaphorical, it's all these things, right? So you can say that this being, this God, this Tao created heaven and earth. And yes, God exists, right? And then it says, but existence comes from non-existence. That's
Shoot.
paradoxical.
Yeah, it's super. Shoot, let's keep reading in the other verses and see what we come up with because they're so short anyway. All right, being and non-being. The motion of nature is cyclical and returning. So there we go. This
Cyclic.
is a cyclic and returning. Is its way is to yield, for to yield is to become. So we're adding a little bit here from up here where it's like yielding is the way of the Tao. Here they're saying it, you know, its way is to yield. To yield is to become. So if you want to become something different, if you want to become what you're supposed to be, if you want to transform into what you were meant to be in this plane, you have to yield. You have to surrender, you know, to these things. And we talk about all this stuff all the time with surrender and yielding and things like this. So I feel like it, that's really what they're saying here. If you want to be, you can't try hard to be enlightened, right? You just got to go be enlightened.
Yeah, you just gotta trust the plan. Let God bring you those things that need to come to you,
Exactly.
and trust that that's going to be just exactly what you need, right? I can talk about that in the sense of like when I was before I met Cody, and I was getting a lot of messages in my readings when I didn't do tarot all the time, but every once in a while, or when I was doing tarot, I was getting these messages that I was going to meet someone. And you know, I mean, I got even as much as this guy was going to be a Taurus. You know, I got a lot of like detail too, and I was just like, okay, what do I do with this? So all I did was just like, God, you know when. I don't know when. I'm not going to try to rush anything. I don't know who this person is. Like, I know some Taurus people, but it doesn't mean that it's them. No, I don't know. Who could it be? Could be anybody. So I just yielded. I was like, God, you bring this person to me at the perfect time, whenever it's perfect. And then we met, and then we knew, you know, it was just like, boom, we just knew that we were the right ones for each other because of all the things that had happened before, and because I had allowed myself to yield and let God bring me the right moment.
Yeah, it's a great story for that. Perfect. Exactly.
Yeah. But yielding also makes me think of, and I don't have to spend too much time on this, but also makes me think of the stuff I was reading recently. Leo Tolstoy wrote a book called The Kingdom of God Is Within You. And I'd mentioned in a previous episode how I was surprised that it wasn't what I thought it was going to be about, because it's actually about his points and his views on non-resistance, what he calls non-resistance. And it's basically of non-violence, basically, is what it is. And I was very surprised by that. So when I think of the word yield sometimes now, it just makes me think of that, because you just yield to whatever source has for you. It's like if you are meant to go in a certain way, then you're meant to go in a certain way. Like I don't bring that upon myself by thinking and fearing that that's going to happen to me, or something negative is going to happen to me. So I believe that therefore that's not going to happen to me. But I'm also open to whatever God has, and whatever God has is perfect. It's going to be perfect for my life. So I also trust that. And so that to me is yielding to God's plan is basically what it makes me think of.
That's right.
And that is to become, being, you know, just be.
Just be like a bumblebee. All things are born of being. Being is born of non-being. Didn't really get much help there. All right, let's go to the Aleister Crowley one. Thanks, Stan. Actually, he wrote his before Stephen Mitchell. So thanks, Stephen Mitchell.
Thanks, Stephen.
Love you, Stephen. Just kidding.
Omitting utility, the Tao proceeds by correlative curves, and its might is in weakness. All things arose from the day, and the day budded from the Tao. Well, we'll start with that first piece there. The Tao proceeds by correlative curves. You know what that makes me think of? A sine wave,
Yeah.
right? That makes me think of that. And its might is in weakness. Now, this is where it reminds me of that verse that Paul, the Apostle Paul, wrote in the New Testament. And I'm going to read from the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 12, verse 9 through 11. this is what it reminded me of. But he said to me, my grace, and he's talking about Jesus saying to him, or Christ saying to him, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will. So now Peter, now Paul is saying, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardship, in persecution, in difficulty. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Actually, that's up to verse 10.
I like that too because it reminds me of Job. Job went through all these trials and he never lost his faith, so he was rewarded with twice better back. So it's that if you can be happy and strong inside when everything outside is weak and you feel like you're weak and powerless, but if you can remain strong inside, then it doesn't matter because you're going through the worst times. And if that's the worst it's going to get, just wait till the good times come. Like the cycle, like the Ouroboros, that Sharon's talking about.
You know what? I'll just finish. I'll just read verse 11 anyway.
Yeah.
I have made a fool of myself, but you drove me to it. I ought to have been commended by you, for I am not in the least inferior to these super apostles, even though I am nothing. So he's kind of doing the whole, like, I'm kind of at this level of these people that you put on pedestals and call super apostles. Even though I'm being humble. And so he's like, I had to make a fool of myself because you drove me to it. Even though I should have been commended by you because I'm like these super apostles that you put on pedestals, even though I'm nothing. So I think that was funny.
By the way, why do we never get the Super Apostle movie or TV show, The Super Apostles.
Oh, that would be cool.
Here's Peter. He has a superpower to get stoned to death. Or no, he was hung upside down, right? One on another one.
No, that was Stephen. Stephen was stoned.
Oh, okay.
And Paul helped.
Good boy, good.
Before he was Paul, he was Saul.
Yeah.
Actually, I don't know that he helped. Allegedly, he held the coats of people. He held their robes while they threw the stones. So he
That's a great
watched.
metaphor too, though, right? Because he wasn't actually participating in it, but he wasn't trying to stop it,
Yeah.
He's just holding their robes. I was just holding the robes. What do you want from me? Right? I'm gonna put my
Oh my gosh.
chakra on.
So yeah, you can be strong in your weakness. I mean, even the Apostle Paul says it. And you were talking about Job, and it makes me think of when I went through what I thought was one of the most difficult things I went through in my life, which was when I lost my husband, Wesley. And it I in those days I felt like Job. I was like, God, why do you I at the same time I was like, God, why? But I didn't lose my faith in God. It was difficult, but I got to the point where I was like, you did this for a reason. I don't know what it is, but I'm here, and I mean, I gotta do what I gotta do. I guess you have a plan for me. I don't know what it is, but I just have to trust, even though it's
Yeah.
really hard right now.
You were
So,
saying why more like because you wanted to know the plan, right? You're like, what's the plan about? Like, why is this part of the plan or
exactly.
how is it part of the plan? Yeah.
Yes, because that's where I was lost. I was confused about. I was like, well, I just married the guy that I thought was the man of my dreams, and now he's gone. What did you mean for this? Like, what was the purpose of that? Right? That was my why.
It's a good why. It's better than why have you forsaken me? I'm going away.
Why me, God? Yeah, so the last little bit. All things arose from the day, which is virtue. And the day budded from the Tao. That makes me think of Aaron's rod that budded.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Moses' brother, Aaron.
Yeah.
So all things arose from virtue, and virtue basically came from the Tao.
So I guess that's what we can say is non-existence or non-being. And maybe instead of like what we consider as no thing, nothing, because technically nothing can exist, right? If it's no
Yeah.
thing, nothing.
Yeah. And
Maybe
non-existence isn't real. That's why I was saying it's got to be some sort of metaphor because non-existence doesn't exist.
well,
That's by
if you think
definition.
about the Tao, then in that way, the Tao doesn't exist. It's just the way. So you could say that everything was born from the way things are, from the way they work, from the magic in this universe. That's the Tao, right? And then all things are born, all the physical things that we see are born from this unseen, maybe call it spiritual force or whatever. We could even say it like that. And maybe when they talk about existence and non-existence, they're just talking about the physical realm.
Yeah, what can be seen and what can't be seen. But it also makes me think of, again, the circle, the
Yeah.
Ouroboros. It's like all things arose from virtue and virtue budded from the Tao. It's like they all came from them. They all came from itself. It all came from itself. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
Yeah.
exactly.
Because if all things came from day and day came from the Tao, that it's all from the same thing.
There
Yeah.
you go, everybody. Verse 40. You're welcome.
Yep.
Awesome. Well, I guess we can wrap this up. We did definitely did plenty of oversharing. This one's going to be over 2 hours, just over 2 hours. So it's about the length of our Tao episodes, right around the
Yeah,
2 and a half hour mark. So we'd
two-ish.
like
Yeah.
to thank everybody. Shout out to the chat. Thank you guys for hanging out here to the end. When we premiere these or go live every Thursday, we're always in the chat hanging out with you guys. So come hang out. It's the best way to support us. Just like I said at the beginning of the episode, like, subscribe, share around. And then if you'd like to support us financially, morelawsmoreproblems.com, click on the oversharing tab. There you have it.
And I'm going to add, if I wasn't super active in the live chat, please forgive me. I'm probably on the road.
Yeah, she might be traveling, so on the road again.
On the road again.
Well, Sharon, safe travels.
Thank you.
And what do we say to the good people?
That once you start over, Sharon.
Then you totally stop being a Karen.
That's right.
That's right. Remember, we're not trying to tell you how to live.
Just maybe give you some tips on how to live a little more peacefully, shall we
There you
say.
go. All right, guys, until next week, we'll see you later. Take care. Have a good weekend.
Yeah.